October 30th, 2007, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
walking down the street. Me, I'm just invisible, and who or what she walks with makes no difference to me. The people that she meets, she turns them into sideshows. They're just here for their amusement. That's not what I want to be, but I'm insanely jealous of you. Yeah, I'm insanely jealous of you. The night is black and thick. I wander past your window and I catch a cigarette thrown from the jewel-encrusted hand. It comes on pretty quick, exactly like a crocodile in search of a mirage across the undulating sand. But I'm insanely jealous of you. Yeah, I'm insanely jealous of you. I don't know why the people want to meet when all they know is that they'll breed like rabbits in the end. Cause ordinary people on the street, they never know, but if they can't be rabbits, they'll be friends. And I'm insanely jealous of the people that you see. And I'm insanely jealous of the people that aren't me. And I'm insanely jealous of you. Yeah, I'm insanely jealous of you. I just can't let it out. This feeling of insanity is thicker than a barge upon a shattered heap of coal. I know what it's about, like crying from a nightmare, and the one who lies beside you cannot hear to save a soul. But I'm insanely jealous of the people that you know, and I'm insanely jealous of the places that you go, and I'm insanely jealous of you. Yeah, I'm insanely jealous of you. The damage that we do is just so powerfully strong, they call it love. And the damage that we do, it just goes on and on and on, not long enough. And everything is lost upon the cracked and blistered hull. Beneath the yellow sky, the lovers trip beside a ship, but all I hear when they embrace is just a kiss of skulls. And I'm insanely jealous of the people that you see. And I'm insanely jealous of the people that I'm me. And I'm insanely jealous of the places that you go. And I'm insanely jealous of the people that you know. And I'm insanely jealous of the hairs upon your bark. And I'm insanely jealous of the spiders in your path. And I'm insanely jealous of the stains upon your sheet. I'm insanely jealous of the stuff inside your feet. I'm insanely jealous of the things upon your bed. I'm insanely jealous of the dresses in your head. I'm insanely jealous of the people that you love. I'm insanely jealous of the things in your glove. I'm insanely
Watt from Pedro Show. I'm doing it here from San Francisco, California. Not Pedro, really. But I'm here with my old and good friend, Lisa Rowland. Say hi, Lisa.
Hi, everybody.
And we just heard a song she picked by the Soft Boys called Insanely Jealous. And we started the show off with Cousin Mary, an alternative take from John Coltrane. Now, I'll explain further, but a week ago, or 8 days ago, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, to witness Boris gig, and I got to talk to the drummer at Suo before they played. So here's that little spiel right now. It's October 22nd, 2007. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm here with...
Atsuo.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Boris.
Yeah, right, right. Axel. Boris.
And my manager and translate.
Ah, yeah. Konnichiwa.
And you.
And we'll help.
Andrew Dave. Oh,
Andrew Dave.
Okay. Angela?
Andrew.
Andrew.
Yes,
I'm new to Boris. So the only thing new is me finding out about it. You ain't new. You like 10 years you had the band? How many years?
14 years.
Damn. See, and I've only known you in the last year. Okay. That's a trip. I'm out of touch a little bit. Because I got my head up my ass. I don't know. But great band. Great sound. I want to know how you started. Did you start with this sound? Like, let's go back 14 years. How many years? There's three people in the band then?
Another drummer.
In the beginning? You were a singer?
Yeah.
Ah. Okay.
ドラマーが抜けて僕がドラム。
The drummer left, then he started drumming.
But when you started that with the drummer, the other drummer, and your other two folks, yeah. Right? What was the scene? Was it like a heavy? Reminds me when I was a teenager, some of this kind of acid rock kind of trip.
僕らはその大学の3人ともその、まあ、アートスクール、アートカレッジ、カレッジ。
They all met in Art University.
Art University. What town? Tokyo? Okay.
で、そこで特に別に大学の友達で本当遊びの感じでやり始めて、特にどっかのシーンにいたわけではないし。
They were just friends and they didn't belong to any.
No scene. Ah, so what were the first gigs? Who'd you play with for? And who'd you play with?
In the university.
Yeah. Was that the school? Somebody told me it was a thrash scene that you were from first.
Heavy alternative rock.
Heavy alternative. Okay. Heavy alternative. All right. I get confused by this shit. But I'm just curious what you came out of. What bands were you listening to?
At that time, when they started?
メルビンズのもの日本ではすごく手に入りにくかったんだけど。
Yeah, I was very influenced by Melvin, and it, their CDs were really hard to get in Japan at that time.
その時すっごい買いまくって、ブートのビデオとかも海外から取り寄せまくって、とにかく時間をメルビンズを聞いたり見ることに費やしてて。
He got CDs, bootleg CDs from overseas.
Okay.
He really tried to get.
Okay, because there's a song by the Melvins called Boris. Is there a connection?
あの曲が僕の人生をすごく変えた曲。
That song changed his life.
Ah, so you named the band then?
Yeah.
Righteous.
なんてヘビーな。
How heavy it is.
Totally. Very heavy.
I...had seen in South by Southwest in this year.
So you still have the new Melvins.
Great.
You get this band going. You're the singer. The drummer bails. How long does he play with you?
3年で辞めて
2 or 3 years. Then he left.
Then he leaves. Why does he leave?
なんで
僕ら本当アートスクールでそれぞれ僕は映像を専攻してたりとか、彼は陶芸にハマっていったんだよね。
Okay, they were in different majors in the same university.
Yeah.
And he absorbed visual art.
Yeah.
and the drummer at that time, Toge,
Rokuro, you know?
Rokuro?
Rokuro.
Rock and roll.
Making
days. Or ceramics.
Ghost on the day.
Yes.
Ceramics. He's ceramics. Clay.
Yeah.
I understand. And he wants to pursue that. Enough music. I'm going to make my pots. Ceramics. I'm going to do my ceramics. Yeah, Tajimi, ceramics.
Yeah.
She knows. So, I like trios.
Yeah.
And bass. So, and there's more room in the van. Three instead of four. So, I know what you mean. Did you guys make a record with the four men?
This duo?
No, back then.
Ah, demo だけだね.
Just demo?
Yeah.
Okay, but no record. Because I'd like to hear some of the four men someday. Is it available?
No.
I will never hear. Okay. That's okay. Was it a lot different than this stuff?
Yeah.
Though the record I know is this pink.
Oh, thank you.
Primo, man. Much respect. So then you come down to a three. You go to drums. Were you a drummer before?
Yeah.
Ah. So you put down the drums to be a singer. And now he leaves. So now back to drums.
Yeah.
So you're singing and playing drums?
Yeah. Sing on drums.
Yeah.
And ね、まあ、僕がメインのボーカルだったんだけど、だんだんたけしのボーカルがメイン。
At the time he was a main vocalist. Then it changed to Takeshi vocal.
Ah, bass.
Yeah.
And you don't sing anymore?
Hmm.
たまに。
Sometimes.
Okay, but he does most of it now. Yeah. He's the guy I'm hearing on King. Okay. So, wow. So the band changes big time then, in a way. Do you write the songs?
Oh, studio de jam there.
From jamming in the studio.
Okay.
Jam.
So it's collaboration.
Yeah.
All three.
Hmm.
Start with a beat, start with a riff, start with words.
まあ時々じゃ。
Every song different.
言葉から出る場合もあるし。
Yes, depends on song.
So speaking of that, what's the lowercase, uppercase?
Yeah.
Difference, right?
Yeah, 僕らの中で全然違いはないんだけど。
It's the same for them.
でもまあ、やっぱり客観的に見たらそのやっぱ全然内容一つのバンドにしてはすごく幅があると思うから、まあ、お客さんが買いやすいようにリスナーとかね。
It's the same for them, but from viewpoint of outside,
yeah,
it's very different. So they can choose easily lowercase voice or uppercase voice. So they make so they use two types.
Right. And what's lowercase Boris?
文字のポリスはどういうものですか？
まあ、ロックの中心からどんどん外側に向かっていくような。
It's something from center of rock to outside of rock.
Okay. And uppercase Boris?
まあ、ロックの中心に向かう。
It's coming into center of rock.
From outside rock. I mean, really. Very.
いつもロックのことを考えて。
He always thinks about rock.
Right. Well, what do you think of progressive? Because I see the logos.
Yeah, this band.
Know this band, yes.
I love Roger Dean.
Roger Dean, right, totally. So, is it in honor of him or is it to have fun? Ironic. Ironic.
ああ、皮肉ではなくて、もう本当。
He really
is. 本当好きで。
Love.
You love Roger.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's tribute. Tribute.
Yeah, tribute. Yeah.
Okay. When you come together and you make an album, the album is its own experience.
前に決めるのかってこと？
コンセプト。そう、your question is question is if they make concepts before they start making albums?
Yeah.
と基本的にいつもジャムとかインプロビゼーションして録音を毎回してて、で、まあ、同時にアルバムが2つも3つも進行して分かれていく場合とかもあるし、
they always jam in the studio、
yeah.
and record them. So sometimes、two or three albums go to
come out the one jam.、Mm. Ah,、mm. so some stuff does、mm. overlap.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.Yeah, how old are you guys?
Oh. 内緒？ちょっと待って、内緒って言葉がこれ録音されて多分放送される。
No, I'm curious. I'm curious because, like, do you listen to older music?
僕は36歳。
36.
So you don't really know 70s music.Or 60s music, except for the
yeah,
records.
Not real.
What I'm wondering,、mm. you listen to those、mm. old records.
そういうレコードを聞いてそうなってるのか、たまたまやってたら、その10年代とかの音楽に
入れる。いや、もう、さっきもロジャー・ディーンが大好きって言ったように、本当、60年代後半から70年代の音楽すごい好きだし。
He realized late 60s to 70s.
Yeah, yeah.、
うん、で、まあ、あと、まあ、僕らが高校の頃に聞いてた80年代の音楽とか、まあ、90年代入ってからバンド始めた頃の音楽とかも、あとロックの歴史をひっくるめて、もう本当に音が体から出てくる感
じ。He also listened to 80s and early 90s music.
Ah.
So it's a total rock history.
Right.
So they include all of
Did you guys listen to punk music?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
メルビンズの前に俺の生活人生を変えたのはダムドのニューローズっていう曲。
A song called New Rose by Damned.
The Damned.
Yeah.
That's the first punk record I heard.
Oh, really? うちの別のたけしも、まあ、僕もパンクとかハードコアの影響すごい受けて。
The bassist Takeshi and Akko, both of them were influenced by punk.
Ah,、mm. were you in punk bands、mm. before Boris?
Mm.
Not together, but、separate bands, huh?
Oh, Takeshi
with
him.
Oh, with him?、
Mm.
Oh, wow. What were they called?
I can't say it. Chaos UK, みたい
な。
Ah, Chaos UK っていうイギリスのバンドがあって。
バンド名は何ですか？
それはなしにしておきます。とりあえずカオス UK みたいな。
It sounds like Chaos UK.
Chaos UK. Chaos UK.、Mm. Ah! What was it like to be a Japanese punk band? When was this? Like 80s?、
Mm.
Period. When you're doing this?
80年代にそうとして
た。90年代だね。
Early 90s?、
Mm.
Okay. So right before the band?、
Mm.
Okay. What was it like to be a Japanese punk band?
日本のパンクバンドってをやってるってどんな感じだ？
今の方は自分たちがパンクとかハードコアっていう感じがするね。
He thinks, now he is playing punk and hardcore more than at that
time. In that time.、
Mm, because, まあ、その時は、まあ、ファッショナブルなファッションっていうか
At that time it was just fashion.
Ah.
うん、今はもう本当世界中回っていろんな人とこう会ったりとか音楽で世界に力を与えてる感じが
Now they tour all over the world and、meeting many people and get many influence. So もともとそういうのがないから外国からのそういう音楽を
聞いてまあ、そういうのもあるし、そういった外国のパンクとかそういったハードコアに影響を受けた日本のバンドを聴いてっていうのもあるね。
They are influenced by punk from overseas and also Japanese punk priests got influenced by Obama.
Overseas. Mm, okay. Mm. Because like Minutemen, we heard Wire, pop group, big influence on us. A lot of them we never saw. We only knew them by the records, so we were like you guys. I'm curious about that. See, was it easy to do gigs in the old days? Japan, punk gigs?
うん、見るね。あ、最近はその、今はそんなに人のライブを日本で見に行くことはすごく稀になったけど、まあでも今でもまあパンクのバンドのプロデュースを俺はしたりとかもしてるし、まあ見るね、そうだね。
He produced some bands, punk bands, so he watched his parents.
No, but I mean in those days, to put on a gig, like did the rock clubs let punk bands in? It was very difficult for us. Rock and rollers hated punk, so we had to make our own gigs.
もっとこう日本はそういうなんかポリティカルな感じじゃないから、もっとファッショナブルなパンクスがすごい氾濫してて、そういうギグはもうそこら中でやってる。
In Japan, it's not political. Like fashion.
Yeah.
So we can see many that kind of fashionable.
Yeah.
日本でショーをやるとき、もう自分から行って、やりたいからやらせてくれる。あ、金を払えば誰だってできるからね。
Anyone
can do if they pay money.
Ah, you pay to put on your own shows.
Easy.
Oh, okay.
Strange country.
Yeah, but I'm just learning, man.
日本のハードコアの。
まあ、こっちのやっぱこう対バンしたりするバンドとか、まあハードコアとか通ってきて、やっぱ大体普通にベジタリアンとか経験してたりやってたりしてるけど、日本ではほとんどいないから。ハードコア、アメリカでは。みんな普通。ハードコアバンド
in US?
Yeah.
Many of them are vegetarian.
Oh yeah.
But
the straight
none,
edge.
None in Japan.
None.
Only fashion.
Only fashion.
Okay, okay. Like Ian Mackay is an old friend of mine, huh? Minor Threat. And he went and made his own label, Discord.
Yeah.
Same with you guys, you made your own labels?
First
two records were released by themselves.
Yourself. Can you do that in Japan? You get in a van and you go town to town and everybody knows their own little scene?
3 cities
in Japan.
There's 3 cities? That's the whole tour. Wow.
まあ日本にもそのハードコアシーンを通過したその バンド同士のつながりとか、そういう真面目にやってるバンドももちろんいるんだけれども、すごく小さなシーンというか。
In Japan, there is also a connection of bands who came through hardcore scene.
Yeah.
So, connection
は。 まあそういう真面目にやってるバンドたちもいるし。
They are very serious.
Right, right, right. What about the big labels? Did they say, "Whoa, we should sign some punk bands"? Did that ever happen in Japan?
Japan ではもうファッショナブルなパンクとかスカとかそういったものは売れてるけど。
It happens for fashionable punk and ska.
Promotion fee, budget.
Promotional costs are different in Japan than in the US.
Different
between major labels and independent labels.
Yeah, of course. But I had learned many years of touring how to do it myself anyway. So that's why I'm curious about what happened over there.
いや、だから、本当さっきも言ったように、今自分たちがすごくパンク、ハードコアなマインドのまま、まあ音楽はもうトータルにロックな 影響を受けて
They keep having punk hardcore mind and they are doing rock、
うん、あでもバッドな音楽も好きだよ、
He likes bad music
Oh, well, music's music
Yeah. I like cheesy
Oh, wow. That's okay. You can tease it. No problem. I'm just curious, you know. Is there a real Japanese punk? Yeah.
って何っていう感じがするから別にパンクの音楽っぽいことやってなくてもパンクな人いるだろうし、うん、パンクって何だと思う
What do you think punk is?
I think punk is not really a style of music. It's a, I think style of music is up to each band. And what punk was a scene wherePeople could try whatever they wanted. There was no rules. Like the old slogan was anarchy. I like that one.
音楽のスタイルじゃなくて、なんかやりたいことをやろうっていう、
そうだね。僕もその世界を変えていくイメージと行動だと思ってるから。
He also thinks punk is action to change the world.
いや、そういう意味で音楽じゃなくてもいろんなシーンにそういうマインドを持った人はまあいるし
It doesn't have to be in music The many people who have that kind of mind decide music scene
Yeah, well like art painters, writers,、poets I agree I have a lot of friends, they don't play bass They don't make the music But to me they're a real important part、of the whole dealI draw a lot of influence from them. Yeah, did you ever listen to Coltrane, jazz?
Ah, jazz は本当コルトレインぐらいしか聞かないな、俺。
Only Coltrane.
Because I never heard Coltrane till punk. I found out it happened way earlier. And so what?
彼もすごくいろんな、まあフリージャズから My Favorite Singers みたいなすごくポピュラーな曲をねカバーしたりとか、すごく面白い、まあ活動してたよね。コルトレーンにフリージャズからすごくポピュラーな
He did from free jazz to popular music
Yeah, favorite thing
Yeah, yeah, yeah、Took that、Sound of Music song and then turned it inside out、Right Minutemen one tour Before every gig we played all Ascension in 1985 Every gig we would play all of Ascension before we went on stage、Because we wanted to teachkids or make them aware that it was about freedom and anarchy not style genre、that was up to each band and when you get with your guys that's where it counted were there but not for a scene it's、too suffocating not enough freak out
日本が全然本当シーンと呼べるものはあるのかなって感じがする
She's wondering if there'sSomething called scene in Japan.
いや本当にまあアメリカにしてもヨーロッパにしてもすごく違うなって思うのそういう部分で。
Big difference between Japan and US or Europe.
Yeah. What about collaboration? Because you got this cat with you tonight.
Yeah.
And you've done it before with other cats. Sano.
ケージハイの三の何を聞かれ
てる？他にどういう人と？
何のケージハイの？ケージハイの。
ケージハイの。No, I'm new. I'm learning.
説明してやって、元マネージャーとして。
But you got connected with them, so that's what I call a scene. Just artistic people.Connecting.
そういうつながりがシーンっていうもの
なんじゃない？どうかな。でもそれを聞く人たちはそれぞれのバンドをどちらも聞いてたりはしなかったりするし。
people who listen to the collaboration might not listen to each band.
Yeah. そうだね。もうアーティストとアーティストのつながりだけであって、そのシーンって呼べるものではない、多分ね。
It's just a connection between artist and artist. It's not the same.
So you say the separation between audience and band.
ファンとかは、まあ、ここアメリカではファンとともに、なんかあるシーンにいるなっていう感じはちょっとするんだけど、日本では全くそういう感じがない。
For sun, in the US, he feels sun and forest are in the same scene,、
yeah.
but they don't feel it in Japan.
But it's important for Boris to collaborate with other people. It keeps band fresh.
Yeah.
More adventure.、
Yeah. でも人と会って面白いことが起こるのはすごい楽しい。
It's fun to meet people and do something interesting.
Yeah.
うん、4人で回るツアーは初めてだけど、すごく面白い。一人一人のプレイの仕方もすごい変わるし。
It's first time to tour as four people.
Yeah.
Tour and it's very interesting.
When I collaborate, I find I'm learning from the person I'm playing with.、
うん
Yeah, that's very interesting for me.
音楽だけではなくて、その他の人の人生観であったり、そういったものを垣間見る瞬間でもあるし。
Not only music, they can see the other people's life through playing other members.
Does Boris change?
Yeah.
To them?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
ゴーストはたまにしかやらないね。僕は他の道夫が他でやってるバンドの方をよく見てる。
ゴースト doesn't play often in Japan, but he saw
play Stars.
The band called Stars.
Stars.
It's also 道夫 band.
Ah. Jim O'Rourke, a friend of mine, he lives now in Tokyo, and he.Said you did something with Mezbah? Yeah, what was that like?
Mezbah
はどんな感じですか? まあ、秋田さんが一人で今やってるんだけど、
ソロ
をまさに秋田。
多
分彼と年齢は変わんなくて。
It's about the same age as you.
すっごいロックが好き。すっごいロックのコレクションが家にあって。ピンクフロイドも見てるし。レッド・ゼッペリンも見てるし、グランド・ファンクも見てるし、リアルにロックを知ってる人だから、まあノエルみたいにロックの先生みたいな。
He's like rock teacher. He has seen many
bands. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pink Floyd, Zeppelin, Grand Funk, UFO.
I saw those bands. So when you played with him,
yeah. その。まあ、一般的にはノイズの第一人者的な感じに言われてるけど、
He's called as noise artist.
Yeah, yeah.
でもマインドは本当リアルにロックを経験してきてる。
His mind is rock to experience real rock.
But he's really like Zeppelin, Pink Floyd.
そういうことをコラボレーションして知った。
そうだね、最初は知らなかったね。
Yeah, he didn't know about that
first. 彼も家に遊びに行ったりとか。
Then he started going to his house.
Yeah.
And
then... Seeing his records.
Wow.
Ah, wow. When you bring in the collaborator, is it a different process than just the Boris?
ボリス単体でやるときと違うプロセス、
まあ、違う、本当コラボレーションする相手によってもコラボレ、
プロセスが違う。
You mean sometimes separate? You play something and you bring it to them, or sometimes you're all in the same room?
Okay.
What was it like with this one here with Michio?
Michio はセパレート。
It was separate.
レコーディングはその作品が終わるまで。わざと栗原さん会ってないからね。
Um, the guitar, voice guitar player Wata and Michio Kurehara didn't see each other till the recording finished.
Wow.
いろんなやり方でいろんな音楽の生まれ方があって、それすごくそれぞれ面白い。
There are many ways to make music. 予想してなかったことなの。
そうね。
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you have plans? What's your next plans? Are you already thinking?
もう新しいアルバムも1枚も取り終わってて、それが春ぐらいに出るから。
They finished recording a new voice album.
Next Pink.Upper case.
And this is just you three, though.
3人だけで。
みちおもゲストで参加してるし、スティーブン・オマリーも。
みちお、クリハラ and スティーブン・オマリー played as guests.
Yes.、They were guests. What did they bring in the material?
ものを持ってきたのか、それとも一緒に。
それは僕らがもうほとんど撮ったバックトラックに。入れてもらった、オーバーダビングしてます。
二人とも。
うん。
They overdubbed what Boris
was already done.、okay. So you kind of came up the tunes separate from them.、And then they heard it, reacted.、Do you have ideas of people you would like to collaborate with in future?
個人的に。
Like, man, I would want to play with this person.
個人的に行こう。
Yeah.
個人的に行こう。個人的にか。
That was the real hard question.
向こうからどうのじゃなくて、自分からやりたい。
デビッド・ギルモアやってみたいね。
デビッド・ギルモア。
デビッド・ギルモア。Does Boris have a vision? A vision of music? Or is it always changing?Is there a Boris vision?
特定のビジョンがあるのか常に変化して。
常に変化。変化自体がビジョンだ。変化することがビジョン自体というか。
The vision is to change.
To change. Okay. Because I'm wondering, there's a sound of Boris, right?
Boris の音っていうのはある。
There is a Boris sound.
世界と共にある。
It exists with the world.
Ah, very good. How important are the words? See, I gotta tell you, I have trouble understanding what's being sung.
歌詞はどれぐらい重要ですか?
Or maybe it's not important, it's a sound.
あまり重要じゃなくて、その音、そ
して。重要だね。
So are you is he singing Japanese?
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably why I'm having trouble understanding.
Yeah. なるべくその海外のリリースには英訳したトランスレートしたものを載せたりはするようにしてるんだけど。
They are trying to put a translated lyric.
But you never want to sing in English.
英語で歌いたくはない。
そうだね。やっぱり。ニュアンスとかいろんなことを考えると僕らがいつも使っている日本語が一番イメージに近いし。
Yeah. I have no problem with that. What about the drum? Do you like Mitch Mitchell?
Oh, yeah. でも僕は。
Who's your favorite drummers?
ドラマよりやっぱイギーポップとか。ニック・ケイブとかドラマよりそういう人たちの方がすごく影響を受けたんです。
He influenced by Nick Cave and
Iggy Pop.
Iggy Pop, rather than drummer.
Ah, singers. Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. Some people say they don't listen to anyone.
ドラマに興味ないから。
He's not interested in drummer.
Ah.Wow. Do you practice? When you play, it's just when you're playing with Boris.
Yeah. 練習はしないし。
No practice.
No practice. No, it's okay. You rock it to Supreme.
やっぱり本当他のメンバーとファズのペダルを探すのがすごい楽しかったりとか、バンドサウンド全体の方がすごい興味が
ある。Enjoy looking for ファズペダル。
ファズペダル。
And so thinking about whole band sound is more
fun. Right. Than just from drummer view.
ドラマーとしてのあれだけの中で。
うん、そうね。そうだね。ドラマーとしてはもう 5% ぐらい。
So in rock music, you don't think drums is part of band?
Rock でドラムが音楽の重要な部分だとは思わない。
とも思うね。うん。
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Right? If you don't have a good drummer, you ain't got a good band.
Hmm.
Because I think Boris has great drums, and they're very, bit the heart. I mean, it would be way different with a different drummer. That's why I'm curious about the four man with the other drummer, how the sound of Boris was.
Oh.
I almost think it's the foundation, fundamental, the drum.
ドラムがすごく強制にとって重要なものだから、
うん、
前別のドラマーがいた時の音にすごく興味があるし、
あ、
まあ、ドラムはすごい基本になる、
うん、その愛するロックを愛してるがゆえにその嫌いにならなきゃならない部分がどんどん切り捨てなきゃならない部分もあるから、いや、そういう意味でドラムに興味がないと言ってるかな。
Because he loves rock, there are many things he has to cut off what he dislikes. That's why he doesn't. He's not interested in rock.
具体的にそのロックはやっぱ大音量でやらなきゃならないから。
Rock has to be loud.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
だから細かい。テクニカルなこととかはどんどんやらなくなっていったし、
So he stopped playing technical things?
Yeah.、
Mm.
Yeah, 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 more spirit. How'd you get into drums? Yeah, how'd you get into it? Why weren't you on bass? Why'd you pick drums?
なんでドラムを選んだ？
そこしか空いてなかった。
Because it was only
Okay. No one else will do it, I'll do it. Wow. Okay. That's a trip. And it just came to you. It just came to you. You didn't have to work at it. It just came to him. He put the sticks in his hand and it came out.
多分ドラミングっていうよりはもう少しイギーポップとかニック・ケイブが歌ってるようなその動きに近いんじゃないか。踊りとか、うん、
It's more like dance or moving like イギーポップ or ニック・ケイブ rather than drumming。
俺は自分のことのドラムのことはリズムと思ってないし、もっとメロディーに近い感じとか、ダンスの、なんていうの、ウェービングっていうのか。
He doesn't think his drum is rhythm. It's
oh,
like
wow.
dance or wave.
Wave. That's not rhythm? You mean like、mm-hmm. ocean wave?、
Mm-hmm.
The sea?So you get a feeling and you just try to let it come out while you're playing. It's not just patterns.
Feeling があってそれを出してる。ドラムに出してる。
どうかな。まあライブではもうお客さんと一緒で一緒にこう変化していく感じ。
At the live shows, he changes with audience.
Ah.Interacts. interact with audience, to get their feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Because
like you hear Stooges song, you don't hear Scott Ashton. You just hear Iggy. Yeah. You're hearing the drums, huh?
Right.
Yeah, man, that's interesting. Because, see, my wish is to be able to play drums. It's difficult. It is a dance.
It's
difficult.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying, how did it come? It just came? You just put the sticks in your hand and it came out?
He said he can't play drums.
Wow. Okay. Everyone gets opinions. I think he plays really well. And I ask this because people tell me Boris is guitar band.
But I think drums
are like huge in Boris.
Oh, thank you.
Huge. And it is, you're right, it's not this like almost drum machine click track thing. No, it's not this. It's this vocabulary that's all over and speaking with the other. Also the bass too.
そうなんです。この打ち込みとかに比べたら僕は全然リズムは揺れてもいいと思ってるし、遅れてもいいと思ってるし、速くなってもいいと思ってるし。
He thinks it doesn't have to be accurate like drum machine.
Yeah. There's a lot of rhythm involved, and who is most honest about the role but the drummer? This is what it is. Everybody else.Technique, some virtuoso, look, all these notes, which I find interesting about Boris too, because for what they call metal, hard rock or whatever. Did you like that word metal?
Yeah, yeah.
Is okay, that label? I mean, I hate labels, period, because music's music. But they don't do all, you, there's not a lot of this in Boris.
それはそれで面白いけど、できないからね。
He thinks it's interesting, butThey can't play like that.
You know, it's almost we're going to serve, but not the person, personality, huh? The group is the most important thing. Even the song is the most important thing. Everything served the song.
Just that, that take a shit.
He thinks it's
まあでも俺ライブだと俺が俺がみたいになってるよね。
But he's like showing off his drums.
Yeah.
At live shows.
テクニックじゃなくてね。
Not at.
But not the technique.
Yeah.
Iggy Pop. So this is your sixth tour.
Sixth era.
When was the first one?
Twelve years ago.
What would you think? Is it easier to play music here?Then
yeah,
over there?
Yeah. Better than Japan.
Harder to do it over there?
How do you say it? まあ、やってることは基本同じなんだけどね、周りの環境はやっぱ違うし、まあ、日本のオーディエンスは日本のオーディエンスですごく僕らも楽しんでる部分があるし、Hard to say.
It's hard to say. Well, what do you like most about playing
here? 何かでやることに対して何が好き？どういうことに？
そうだ、それも日本との違いとしてはもうリアクションがすごいダイレクトだからエネルギーの循環がすごいあるね。
The audience reaction is very direct compared to Japan. So energy.
なんていうの？ Exchange?
Yeah. Okay. I can understand it. What about not music? What about just U.S. the land?
音楽以外でアメリカに対する印象はどう？
汚い。
Dirty.
It's dirty.
トイレ壊れすぎ。
Too many broken toilets.
Okay. Great. That is great.
日本ではありえないよね。
No, what about
never,
Europe?
Never what? In Japan.
Never in Japan, right? The best toilets. What about Europe?
Europe.
How the toilets rate over there? Okay, so we're kind of equal.
こうやって実際目で見たり肌で感じたりとかすごい情報をどんどん体に入れてる感じがやっぱいいよね、ツアーね。
It's good to experience、by seeing real things and feeling.
Yeah, it's just image.
Straight to eye, ear, straight to skin.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And you think this affects your music?、Mm.
うんうんうん、
yeah. みんな今過去ばっかり見てる感じをするね、逆にね、未来がない感じ、
今、
うん、世界も世界的にも
ミュージシャンは interested in old things not for future
あ、うん、yeah. yeah I agree
普通の人もね、
not only ミュージシャン
Okay, okay. What about traditional Japanese music? Does it interest you?
全然日本で普通に生活したらそんな音楽ってほとんど聞く機会ない。
We don't have chance to listen to that kind of music.
Right. So never.Comes into your own music.、
No.
no, I'm just curious.
そのね、アメリカ、ヨーロッパから輸入されたロックとか、それに影響を受けた日本のミュージシャンがやってる音楽に影響を受けてる世代というか。
Their generation is influenced by US and Europe music and also Japanese music, which was influenced by.
Yeah,、but you know what I'm saying, there's Tokai and Shamisen and、that never... just...
全然生活には密着しないよね、日本の。
We don't have that kind of music in our life.
It never was there.、but you don't look back to your own sounds.
日本人は、
Cultures.
自分たちの文化を尊重しないというか、まあ僕自身もそうだけど
Japanese, including him, don't have respectation to Japanese traditional
culture, music, history っていうか、まあ、日本人とも思ってないっていうかそういう感覚が俺は強い
日本人が
俺が俺はね
He doesn't thinkvery much that he is a Japanese.
Ah, okay. Wow. Do you know why?
もうだから
or have an idea?
もうすごく日本の文化自体が輸入されたもので出来上がった時に育ってる世代だから。
Because he grew up when...Japan
is almost imported.
Import all culture
from Western countries. そっちの輸入されたものの方がポピュラーだ。僕らに。
Imported things are more popular.
Popular than traditional Japanese culture.変な人種だと思うよ、日本人って。
It's strange country.
Yeah. October 30th, 2007. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Sorry, the first hour just ended like that, but, yeah. Ran out of time. Anyway, you held tight. We're into the second hour, and we're thinking here maybe we should play you some Boris.So here's a song from them called Hammer.
people think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think... Oh, bondage! Up yours! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Started off there with Boris doing Hama, and at the end of or most of the first hour there, I played you an interview I did with that Suo, I guess this week, at least this here, and very interesting talking to him and getting his take on stuff going on in his land and his band and his music and his impressions of the U.S. and the very significant problem of broken toilets. We're working on that. Oh yeah, and being able to see the other guy's foot. What was that guy, that senator from Idaho?
I don't remember his name, but yeah, there was some code he used with his feet,
right,
supposedly.
Then he denied it.
Yeah, yeah, big time denied it, but was busted several times in the same similar situation, and his wife even backed him up and said it was mistaken identity.
Okay. So I guess you don't have that problem in Japan because the feet can't be seen. But I don't know. I can't remember the heads too well over there. But God, I was just there, but I have to pay closer attention. And then we played a song that Lisa picked, Oh Bondage Up Yours, an old one from X-Ray Specs. Polystyrene singing, and Laura Logic on the sax. We you also played picked a song on the first hour, Soft Boys, from the old days, too.
Let's tell them how long ago the old days
the old
are.
Days.
30
no,
years. Okay, known, those are old days.
I've known Lisa a long time. Lisa's one of the first punk rock ladies in San Pedro, California. And it was that way for quite a while.
Me and my sisters. You got to forget. Right, don't forget the Roland sisters.
Right, Nanny. I first met Lisa in 1977
78?
No, 77, Michael. It's been 30 years, yep.
77. And I was, she was already working there. She was working at the parking lot at berth 94 and 95 under the Vincent Thomas Bridge there in San Pedro. By the Catalina Terminal and also by the cruise ships. Some of you might know some show that was on stupid television back then called Love Boat, and they would film the opening sequence there, Princess Cruises. And anyway, Lise was already working there, taking, you know, people's money after they... parked the car over from visiting Catalina, and I got another job. I was already scrubbing pots and pans at the hospital, San Pedro Peninsula Hospital. It's a Catholic thing now, right? A little company
it's
married.
Pretty famous, too, I heard.
Hospital there. But I got another job at the same time. I ended up doing three jobs.
I think you were. You were, right. You were sickly back then.
And I gave myself pneumonia doing it because I put myself through school, too, college. And doing the band. And so I meet Lise there. And I had just been working at Jack in the Box.
Right.
Right, with D. Boone.
Yes.
On 6th Street there in Pedro. No, on Gaffey.
Gaffey, yes.
At 6th Street. And, or between 6th and 7th.
Oh,
to be more
yes.
accurate. And that's where her sister Nanny was working. And, well, you know the story. Like, there was no punk rockers yet, but you were both kind of amazed, because this is your pre-punk, this is when you had the big frizzy hair.
Yeah, this is when I was still like,
wore
in
baggy,
my hippie,
hippie
stage,
clothes.
My unisex.
And they were both, you should tell the story, how they both thought it incredible they were working with punk guys. Like Nanny.
Yes, I think we called you
the
two
only punk
odd guys.
Yeah.
Two definitely odd yeah. guys. But it didn't click until...
That we knew each other.
Yeah,
they didn't know we knew each other. They just thought they each knew the only weirdo.
I was telling my sister about these two, these guys, and she was telling me about
yeah,
these guys.
Yeah, because when I worked at the Jack with D. Boone, Nanny wasn't working there. And you're unaware of D. Boone. And you both are thinking that you know the only punk rockers... In Pedro.
In the world.
Well, not in the world. But
well, come on, Pedro's a small town, okay?
Okay, our world.
It's our world, that's it.
And they didn't, you didn't really realize that we knew each other and we had a band, you know. So, yeah, you, I remember you wanted to know about this music I was into.
And you gave me my first... Cassette tape, yes, cassette tape, because that's what we had back in
right.
those days.
Because what, I, you knew I was into something different because I looked...
You looked different, yes, definitely.
And there wasn't a lot known about punk.
No,
did you know
punk
about
rock
it?
In San Pedro, punk rock, we were still in our David Bowie, old Rolling Stones. I mean, you got to remember that San Pedro was not a music hub. So when you guys came on, it was just like a breath of fresh air for me and my sister. It was like, oh, my God, here's two guys that are so into
yeah,
what they're doing.
Yeah, but we ain't up to the two guys yet.
Yeah,
still
okay,
the one
you know
guy.
What? Okay, well, let's get to the two guys because that's the part I remember.
No, the one guy first.
Yeah, well, okay, that's you, of course. Yes, you are the one I think.
No, it's you and me and Nettie and Dee Boone because she's getting turned on to music from Dee
Boone. Okay, yes. I
see,
forgot
there's
the record.
Parallel universe, right?
That's it. You know what? I forgot you were totally right in that.
And I tell you about me being in a band.
Right. That's when you were the reactionary.
Yeah, we were called the reactionaries. You didn't realize that me and D. Boone, this guy that was working with your sister, was in the band with this guy you were working with what? At the parking lot.
Exactly. Okay, I'm with you now.
And then I guess it came together, right?
Yeah.
You figured it out. And what happened eventually was I get D. Boone working at the parking lot. So Yeah, he's in the booth.
Falling asleep, not letting the cars out. Remember that?
Yeah, because the first gigs he got was Graveyard ones.
You guys were both putting in a lot of hours, the band and everything. Yeah, you guys were really burning the candles at both ends back in those days. Yeah.
You meet George Hurley because he's the drummer.
Yes.
Right. You kind of are into this music. What about the haircut? Right away, you get the wigger haircut.
One thing punk rock afforded you was you could be unattractive and still just fit right in with everybody. So my haircutting process was like we would sit around with Martin Tamborovich.
Right, he was the singer of the Reactionaries.
We would sit around in his house, and we'd get bored, and we just, like, let's cut our hair. And we had great fun. We spent every weekend, Michael, together for years. And when we didn't see each other play, we were together on the park on Sunday.
Yeah, it was shout-outs to Pedro.
It was
small
fun.
Thing.
I wouldn't change any of it except, of course, losing Dennis.
Yeah, of course.
But
we would get the music from Zed London, right?
Michael would go into Zed Records and buy albums like Crispy Ambulance because of the title. That's what I loved about you. You exposed us to such different
music. I didn't know what it was.
You didn't, because you were buying it just from the look and the title. Yeah, I remember.
Right.
Then we went to...
I was having knee surgeries went back to live with my house, and Lise and her sister lived there, too.
Yeah.
For a little while I was in the cast.
Oh, that was...
Moved from Gaffey and 22nd up there, and then...
Michael has the sweetest mom. She was a saint. She afforded all this, Michael,
She didn't really have a problem with us being into punk. But what about your parents?
My parents had Michael, of course they blame you, which now, as everybody knows, you are the person who introduced us. But, my parents had three daughters, and we were raised Catholic. Matter of fact, I went to Catholic school. So my parents didn't take it well when we started bringing home our albums. Yes, albums. And playing the stuff. And my mom and dad thought, what have we done to deserve
it? And the haircuts.
Oh, the haircuts, the clothes, just everything. But I wouldn't change anything for the world. Yeah, and now it's just like...
Now, what about the gigs?
The gigs were five bands for $5. Yes, that was the day, folks. When you could see five bands for $5. And it was kind of scary, let me tell you. Being a woman... When you're going with the Minutemen and the headlining band's Black Flag, the crowd was a little more aggro than I would have cared for. I was more into, you know, when we went to see The Slits or Blurt or X. But we were just glad, my sister and I, that we had our guys with us, because we got to see and do things that...
Well, Kenny made a band.
Oh, yes, but I remember every time Ken Starkey played, he got sick to his stomach, so he was short-lived.
He was in a band with Martin and...
With Martin the Plebes.
And Gino Pusta.
And then he sat in for one Descendants gig.
Yeah.
And then he was so sick he couldn't deal with it.
Right.
So, yeah.
The Plebes were kind of interesting, man. I think Kenny played guitar, and Martin was on sax, and Gino sang and played clarinet.
Yes, which...
Wrote a lot of songs about... The horse track?
What he knew best. I think that was it, the horse track.
Were you at the gig at Croatia Hall where they threw up?
Where they threw
well,
eggs
Plebes
at us?
The went on first and got to play their old
thing. They told us to get out of their town?
Yeah.
And my mother's Croatian, so it was kind of a double whammy.
And we had come down from playing the Roxy, opening for
when
X.
We were loved.
And... got maybe two, three songs in before they threw us out.
Yeah, San
I was
Pedro.
In a cast at that point. I was pissed off in a way a little bit.
San Pedro wasn't exactly the kind of warm environment.
Then you went and lived with Kenny and D. Boone for a
while. Oh, yeah. Yes. Like I said, I've done my time.
My own path.
What was that like?
That was we lived
next
to
a Lomita,
biker
bar. Right?
Yeah.
You weren't in Pedro.
No, no. We lived
right
next to a biker bar.
Yeah.
And D. Boone would wash our dishes in the shower, which was interesting. But like I said, that was D. Boone, and you loved him no matter what. And then remember our trips to Mexico when you wrote that felt like a gringo.
And he wrote Corona.
And you guys got so sunburned on your recently shaved heads.
Yeah, because we cut our heads bald. See, we went into the haircut.
But now George. He got George.
Well, he had a haircut, but it was weird. I think that was the beginnings of the unit. But it wasn't bald headed, which is his idea.
Yeah.
I remember when we showed up at the gig, it was like, what? Why ain't you bald? He told us to do it. It was a Joanna Wett gig at the Whiskey.
Oh,
yeah,
dude.
That was funny.
That good was times, fun. Good times.
Yeah. Now, why would you be part of a scene that wasn't so big and popular?
Well, because at the time, remember, you had two ways to go. Disco, not an option. And when you guys came along, it was just, it was the energy and how you guys just loved doing what you were doing. All that just made for such a, you never knew what you were going to experience. And that's what made it so fun. Because it wasn't a dull moment in musical history by any stretch. And at the time, music was pretty damn dull. So punk rock changed my life and also saved me musically.
What bands did you like then?
Well, let's put it this way. I went to see Throbbing Gristle. That was a gig that I will never forget. The Slits, Pere Ubu. I mean, those, we saw Cabaret Voltaire. All these bands Michael turned me on to. And then you had the Alley Cats. You had the local scene. You had, what's her name, before the Go-Go's, before they all had plastic surgery. So, and then the women were into the scene, and I like that, because you saw a woman playing a bass, like, yeah, boom, 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 and it was just the energy, and
I
you
guess
guys,
the Black Flag,
that was never my
gigs
scene.
Was more the hardcore, yeah.
And that was dominated mostly by, I still say punk rock consisted of a lot of lonely guys that needed a lot of physical contact. How many gigs do we go to together, Michael? Hundreds.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, hundreds, and two were ever the same.
Where were you working at the time, right?
I went to work while
this
we
was
were,
after the parking lot.
I went to work for a corporation, yeah, called Computer Sciences Corporation.
Now, how'd they dig?
They did not
cuts.
Dig. Matter of fact, I was called into the office, and because my hair was all cut extremely short, matter of fact, people would want to touch it when I was out in public, which really amazed me. Or they thought I was a vegetarian. I don't know where that came from. But they called me into the office and said, maybe I need a psychiatrist. And I said, well, I'm already seeing one for family issues. But they came up with a corporate dress code because of me. But they couldn't fire me because I did my job. But that's how being a punk rock in those days was hard work and tough, because people were not very kind in what they would say to you. And that always amazed me. What people would come up and ask me. The best story I have is I went out to eat and this lady calls me over. She goes, oh my gosh. She goes, how are you feeling? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, my daughter just went through chemotherapy too. And I went, oh my gosh. I go, no, I'm not chemotherapy. This is my boyfriend cut my hair. You can't make this stuff up. So it was tough, but you know what, like I said, Michael, if I had it to do all over again, it's a part of my life that I will look back on fondly. Okay. And with pride.
Okay, we got some more music, right?
Yes.
Look yonder, big black cloud car. A big black cloud car. Here comes a Tupelo. Comes a Tupelo. Yonder on the horizon. Yonder on the horizon. The mighty river. The dancing cry. Distant thunder rumble. Distant thunder rumble. Rumble hungry like the beast. The beast it cometh down. The beast it cometh down. The beast it cometh down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Tupelo bound. Yeah. Ah, Tupelo. The beast it cometh Tupelo bound. Why him will lay no egg? He get the cock to crow. The nag is spooked and crazy. Oh, I got up a Tupelo. Oh, got up a Tupelo. You can say these streets are rivers. All these river streets, you tell yourself you're dreaming, but even no sleep runs as deep. No, no sleep runs as deep. Oh God, up to below. 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 Oh, go to sleep, little children. The Sandman's on his way. Children, the Sandman's on his way. Hey, listen to the beating of their blood. Listen to the beating of their blood. Sandman's murder. The Sandman's murder. The Sandman's murder. The Sandman's murder. And Black Rain come down. The Black Rain come down. Oh, water, water everywhere. When no bird can fly, no fish can swim. No fish can swim. Until the king is born. Until the king is born in Tupelo. Until the king is born in Tupelo. In a crab board shed with a rubber tin. Where there ain't pressed in anything within. A young mother frozen on the concrete floor. And a bundle and a box and a cradle and a star. Tupelo. Tupelo. And a bundle and a box and a grand stone. Saturday gives what Sunday steals. And a child is born and a brother's here. Sunday morning at this long bed. And a shoebox died with a ribbon and a red. Tupelo. Ah, Tupelo. And a shoebox buried with a ribbon and a red. Oh, the mama rock your little one slow. Mama rock your baby. Mama rock your little one slow. God help the Tupelo. God help the Tupelo. The king come down. The king come down. The king will walk on Tupelo. The king will walk on Tupelo. The king will burn on Tupelo. And carry the burn on Tupelo. And carry the burn on Tupelo. The Tupelo. Yeah,
Watt from Pedro Show. We started off that segment with Tupelo by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. That was a tune you picked, Lise.
Yes, it was.
Why?
Because, once again, Nick Cave, well, we saw him with the birthday party, remember, Michael?
Yeah.
We were there, and he was, well, it was an amazing show. His music is just, he's one of those guys who's been hurt by women and sings about it and call that shallow, but I kind of like that part. But also that Tupelo song we all know is about Elvis, Elvis's little brother that never was, who passed away when he was born, Elvis, Presley, that is. But my sister's a big Nick Cave fan, so whenever I hear his music, I think of Nanny. He's one of those performers that if you get a chance to see him live, he's definitely worth it. And he's been consistently putting out very good music since the days of the birthday party, I think.
You remember that gig?
Oh, I remember that gig.
Now, you just seen him with this new band called Grinder Man.
Yes.
Now, what's the difference between that gig back then in this one you just saw?
Well, he seems to be a lot happier. So, once again, he's not as tortured of a soul as he used to be. So, to me, I like the new stuff, but I still look forward to the old stuff only because I personally didn't think it was maybe as deep and gut-wrenching, at least to me. That was my take on it. Henry Rollins was there. He said it was one of the best shows he's seen. And his imagery...
Have you read... Yeah, he's written some books, huh?
Yes. I've read a couple of the books. I didn't read The Angel and the Ass, but the King Ink books I did. But to read the words and then just see accompanied with his drawings that he how he goes about doing it, he's just definitely one of those singers that...
Do you remember that birthday party gig, the bass player, Tracy Pugh? He's wearing the cowboy hat.
I just remember when he was...
You don't remember him grinding his hips?
Yeah, and then remember and Nick was just so wasted on stage, and he just kept pulling at the side of his hair and, like, on his knees all the time.
I was kind of into that bass player. After Nick, we heard Nice Butterfly Mass by Sunburned Hand of the Man.
Okay.
And I think they might... Thurston knows something about him. I got to see Thurston last night with his solo project. I mean, he's got a band. And Steve Shelley's on the drums. He's got a violinist. Another guitarist, Chris from Common. Bass player, really nice guy from No Neck Blues Band. And then Thurston's playing acoustic guitar. And it was very interesting, very restrained, very trippy. It was still Sonic Youth-y.
Right.
But different.
Not as loud.
Wasn't as loud, no. It was restrained with this acoustic thing, but it was really, really good. And day after tomorrow, he's playing Halloween at a pizza pad in Massalia, and he asked me to play solo bass for 10 minutes. He wants me to do Young Man Blues, the Mose Allison song, for 10 minutes before they go on. So I thought it was going to be the first Halloween I hadn't played in many, many years.
Where's your pumpkin?
I'm going to have to find a pumpkin. Cut the bottom out. It's funny, I got word from Money Mark and John Wicks, which are two of Los Pumpkinheads, because last Halloween I was playing in Pedro at Sacred Grounds Coffee House with pumpkin on my head. But sitting down.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm not gonna sit down. You're kidding.
Well, I've done a lot of pumpkin head things.
Oh, yes.
I mean, not lost pumpkin heads, but
that's a guy thing.
With pumpkins on my head.
Carved out pumpkin.
Well, I like the way it tastes.
Yeah, well, not standing next to you after a few hours. Yeah. Pumpkins aren't
and
kind.
And then finally we played this song, I'm Not Gonna Teach Your Boyfriend How to Dance With You by the Black Kids. So, which...
So there.
We were talking about in the old days, you would just get the record because of the title.
Come on, Crispy Ambulance. Who would have thunk?
You know, I played some a couple shows ago. I found some somehow.
Well, Zed was the only place, but because remember
I'm telling you, recently I found some Crispy Ambulance.
Oh.
I don't know if it was recent Crispy. It might have been from those old days, too. A lot of those bands, you never know where they came from or where they went or what it was up. Sometimes they'd play over here, but a lot of times... the foreign bands. Yeah.
Blurt was one of those bands, I think.
I think we saw Blurt with Flesh Eaters and The Fall, right?
Which, once again, The Fall, one of my favorite of all times.
Yeah, great band. But I remember that gig. I mean, I might be wrong here, but didn't he, like, stare at the kick drum the whole time?
You know, he turned his back to us. His back to the, he had his back to the audience. And remember the stage only hit you waist high. Right. So he was standing
some
there.
Weird thing downtown. It wasn't regular.
No,
play.
It was weird.
Saw gigs.
Yeah.
And Flesh Eaters was a trippy version. It had a couple of the guys from the Blasters and John Doe was in it, of course.
And Chris D.
Well, Chris D was his project.
I saw them recently.
They were really good. I remember that gig.
Yeah.
Who'd you see recently?
The Flesh Eaters played recently at Slim's here.
And who was in the band?
Dave Alvin.
That version? Yeah. Okay.
And Chris. And then, of course, I don't, you know, I'm not good with the drummer, but I was.
Was it Bill Bateman?
I think it was the original, if they're all still with us, hopefully.
I got to do a gig with Don Bonebreak, the ex-drummer.
Yeah.
Great musician. He,
you know what, beautiful Nanny man. Said he was a nice man, always a nice man.
Beautiful man.
John Doe's always
been
nice.
I got to play with
nice.
Him and this violin player named Chris Murphy about a year ago in some, Sierra Madre, up by the foothills, and just making up songs. Speaking of an improv thing, I'm going to do 2 weeks in Japan in February, where I improvise songs with a cat named Kramer, with two bases. He wants to play like a fuzz bass, and then play with a drummer. And I think at least some of the gigs we're going to get to play with Shiko from Miku, so it's going to be very interesting. Gigs in Japan have been big rock things,
right.
So this time I get to check out their smaller underground. And, check that out. And the whole improvised thing, when you go out there, you just got to
I've been to enough of your jams.
The Minutemen used to have little jams inside the set, but they were tiny.
Yeah, then people would get confused. Remember, the pit would stop it. Everyone would run around aimlessly until you guys kicked back in. It's like my boyfriend said, nobody really knew how to take your music because you guys were so unique compared
I wanted to ask you about your take on D-Boone's guitar playing.
D-Boone, I remember one time D-Boone was in my kitchen with his shoes off. And my dad walks in and goes, oh, who's this? Dean Boone had just finished his sixth hot dog. And I remember taking the radio and turning it, and Dean Boone played every song that he heard on that radio. He was truly gifted. He had an ear for music. He was just a presence. He was truly a presence on stage.
You liked him because he could copy songs.
Oh, he didn't know. He didn't know. I didn't like him because his songs were not so much happy. It's the way he moved around and danced that made you happy to watch him. Yeah. Plus, he had the most tapered fingers that afforded him that ability to play finger pick.
Well, he was a painter, too,
Stage presence, once he started dancing, man, there was just something. I was listening to King of the Hill the other day.
What did you think? Bunny Hop?
Oh, Bunny Hop, yes. Bunny Hop.
Not a song, but
I had
a presence. Huh?
To this day, I can close my eyes and picture exactly your guys' facial features, your foot, George's drum. How you held your breath and did how D-Boone bounced. I saw you so many times, I can picture it with every song. And that's memory that I love.
Explain it, because they can't look inside your face.
Okay. Well, basically, you know how guys, when you see a musician play, he usually has something that he either does with his mouth to keep the beat, or his foot, or George Hurley used to spin his hair around in a circle. But you guys had certain little dances and poses I don't want to call them poses because then posers. But like you would hold your breath to where your cheeks look like Miles Davis, and we would think you're gonna pass. And the D-Moon would be bouncing back and forth and just moving around like he weighed 100 pounds, not close to 250 or 3.
Well,
I could still picture you guys how you looked up. Well, D-Moon was, he was a little large.
Large.
200? Come
okay.
on. Yeah.
Not 3.
Come on, we remember the short pants. Remember the camouflage? Those outfits we wore. Remember when we had the party and we all wore the records heads? We had good times. It was fun. And then we go to Pink's after. Life was good. When you put a couple hot dogs in your pocket, then we'd get in the push cart and we'd drive home, you, me, and Nanny. Those were good times, good times.
More music.
Okay.
A song Lisa picked called 80s by Killing Joke. Yeah, we saw them at the Whiskey, right?
Yep.
I don't think they were playing that. I think they're playing stuff like Word Dance.
Right, exactly. I think you went and saw them twice in that 1 week.
Did
you? I think you were a little bit more hardcore than I was.
I don't think I saw.
Now, I mean, they were okay. And what's funny about Killing Joke, I think I only saw them once, but that sound got copied by a lot of bands. They were good, but I don't think I ever saw them again, in fact. I remember the 80s song later on, but that was a few years later.
They're like the Stranglers. I wish I would have seen them.
Stranglers, I think we did.
It was Stiff Little Fingers, I guess.
Saw them once.
Yeah.
A lot of them England bands, we saw their first tour.
Remember Gang of Four?
Gang of Four. Oh,
they played... I saw them in...
I did a thing.
Ago.
But you know what? Like, second record or stuff, I wouldn't be into them as much. You know, they seem like regular rock bands. I just... was on a CMJ panel in New York City, and it was on The Clash, and I was, Dave Marsh was a moderator and stuff, and I was very honored to be asked to be part of that, but I told them I only really knew the first album, that Green record, you know, and
I remember,
I just didn't know that music so much, nothing against anybody. And October 30, 2007, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's part 10 of Jack Flanders and Tropical Hot Dog Night.
I knew you'd be back.
Well, you're right about that.
Hey, Fritzy, a Wiener Schnauzer for Big Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't find your way?
The streets aren't the same.
I'll tell you a secret. It just seems that way.
Oh, it's all in my mind.
Isn't everything?
What appears to be coming at you is coming from you.
Your Wiener Schnauzer?
Well, thanks, Fritzy. So, tell me, Wolf, how do I get out of this?
You talking about this bar, or this town, or this island?
All of them.
You'll get out when the monster gets tired of playing with you.
That's when the fog leaves?
That's right.
And then what?
Everybody crashes.
Wiped out?
If it's a long night, yeah.
So the nights vary.
That's what I'm told.
Well, I guess that figures.
You want to get out of here?
This bar?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to.
I'll take you.
Where?
Do you want to get out or not?
Is it another place where I'll get stuck?
Maybe you'll like it better.
Okay, I'm game.
I know.
If Chuck is with that two-bit babe, I swear I'm going to smack his ears off.
No, he deserves it, the pink ape.
What kind of sucker does he think I am?
$50 will get you $100. He's fooling around.
He's going to come begging for mercy.
He'll deny it. They always do.
Not if I catch him red-handed.
Or the chump.
Putting the screws to him. I'll bet she is.
Once a chump, always a chump.
Hey, where the hell are we?
Beats me.
Why is everything different?
Maybe it isn't. Maybe we're different.
What's that supposed to mean?
What we think we see is different, but that's because we are different.
I think you got the screw loose.
My God, the street is different again.
Of course.
Will this one end in a cul-de-sac?
You never know.
Can I safely assume this is all happening in my mind?
Maybe it's happening in the monster's mind.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was afraid of.
You don't understand.
No.
Is your life what you want it to be?
Do any of us get the life that we want?
You get the life you make.
Well, tell me, do you get what you ask for?
You just gotta know how to ask.
So, where are we going?
Where do you want to go?
Well, I'd like to find Claudine.
That's what I figured. Okay. Up ahead, there's a footbridge.
Oh. Where does it go?
Over a canal.
I don't recall a canal.
What did you do?
About what?
You did something. You're different.
Well, what do you mean?
Forget it. How about a good night kiss?
Oh, sure.
After all I've done, that's what I get?
Okay.
Not bad.
So long, Walden.
Yeah. So long, you big bum.
Come on, quit dragging your butt.
Can't see more than 3 feet in front of me.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you find your way in this dump?
I don't.
You seem to know where you're going.
Nope, I just know how to know.
How do you know how to know?
I don't know.
Oh, you're riddling me.
I'm speaking of instinct.
You mean an intuition?
Like big mushy words.
Intuition isn't so mushy.
Well, it sounds like a mouthful of marshmallows.
Sweet solvent puppy.
That's right, pal. In this world, you lose your edge, you lose your life, get me?
But if your edge gets turned on you, you can lose your hide.
Your philosophy stinks, pal. We all know we're going to kick off someday. It's only a question of when.
A dull edge doesn't mean a dull life.
Yeah. Try walking in my shoes.
You can be sharp without an edge.
What I need is a portable spittoon.
You know how a spittoon got to be called a spittoon?
No.
When people used to spit their tobacco into a brass spittoon, it would give a little ding.
Yeah?
So guys would stand around, chewing tobacco, and spitting out tunes.
Spitting tunes. Is that true?
True story.
Oh, yeah.
I made that up.
Hello. toward their end. I knew before I met her that I would lose her. I swear I made every effort to be good to her. I made every effort not to abuse her. Crazy bracelets on her wrists and her ankles, and the bells in the chapel go jingle, jingle. You love me. You love me. You love me.
That was a band from Italy called Raw Power with the song Why Do You Hate Us? And before that, we have Do You Love Me by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Lise, that was another one you picked.
Yes. I always pretend that hopefully Nick is singing that to me. Do You Love Me? Once again, one of my favorites. As you can tell, I have a very limited CD collection, unfortunately. But did you share with your audience who we're seeing tonight, Michael? Both of our favorites.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we started off the third hour with Part 10 of Jack Flanders and Tropical Hot Dog Night. As soon as we get done here, we're going over to Great American Music Hall here in San Francisco to see Rocky Erickson. Dig him much. And you got to see him.
He was amazing.
How long ago? Not that long.
No, not that long ago. It was a sold-out crowd, and what was just so great, first of all, to see him alive and well, first of all, but the age of the crowd was much younger. So it was nice to see a whole new generation hearing, you know, his stuff, because he's definitely unique, one of a kind, and his songs... I Walk with the Zombie is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I got to see him in July at Lollapalooza, and he was great. His voice, great form. His presence, playing guitar, great. He was beautiful.
He looked like he really liked being there. The one thing I noticed, which is rare today, is when you see a performer finish and then shake everyone's hand in the front, and then he went back and shook everyone's hand again. He was truly a gentleman, and he stayed after and signed stuff for people. You can tell the age difference because there are people our age, Michael, bringing in 13-4 elevator records, and then you saw the younger crowd with their CD. But it was great to see him, and he should be really, really good to see again.
Yeah, yeah, I can't wait. There's this documentary on the Minutemen called We Jam Econo. And you're in that.
Yes. Once again, I think there's, three of us, four of us women in that whole video, in that whole documentary. But, yes, that was an experience. I want to thank their names escaped me there, but those
Keith
kids were
Tim.
Sweethearts. They were just really good people. It was great what they did. It preserved our history of 30-plus years, and it was just nice to reminisce and have future generations be able to see D. Boone and see what he was all about and experience an experience that we shared. So it was. I felt honored. I was glad to be asked and glad to share. So, yeah. Impressed the hell out of my parents.
About, yeah. What do you think about hearing your own voice?
Oh,
and seeing your own face?
I now know why a lot of people will call me sir on the phone.
How long have you lived here now, Lee?
It's going to be 13 years this January. It's, I love my hometown, San Pedro. I never thought I'd be a Northern California person, but the environment here is really, people are really pretty nice. The music scene, everything's right here. I get to see you a lot. I get to see a lot of bands that I, you know, when you live in Pedro, you pretty much have to drive. Here, it's a few miles away. When your boyfriend's at the Great American Music Hall, which is celebrating its 100th year. It's 100 years old this year.
Wow.
And my dad used to see the fan dancers back in the day there. So it's got a lot of history, this town. A lot of good food, a lot of beautiful scenery. And, yeah, it's a nice town, a really nice town.
What do you think of the sea lions at Pier 39?
Once again, when you listen to them and you see them, you can see why they're all a bunch of males. But you know what's funny is they were trying to drive them away because they were in it. But then it became a sanctuary, and it's nice because they know to return there. They go out, they go down to what's the beach where they breed. They meet their females, and then they come back, and then they hang out till it's breeding season. So it's nice. I like nature. When you got the Golden Gate Bridge right in back of them and Alcatraz, you really can't ask for much more. It's kind of a cool thing. Hey, remember when the sea lions used to be in San Pedro?
You got them still. I paddle.
Well, no, remember when the fish market used to have two and the cement?
But you know, when
you
I'm paddling my
pictures,
kayak.
Right?
Right. You get pictures, right?
Yeah. That's right. And you do send me that. Does remind me of San Pedro and the sunsets.
Pelicans.
I have enough San Pedro sunsets.
Like
I'm
sunrise
still there.
Where you face east. They're not sunsets.
But you have some sunsets, too.
They're sunrises.
Thank God.
The hill's in the way, Lise. How do I get sunsets?
All I know is you give me my daily dose of Pedro. I forget that it can be beautiful. And remember when we went there and we saw Fox? And you gave us the tour. Michael knows more about my hometown than I know about it.
And I came from Virginia.
Yeah. But you have put San Pedro on the map. So it's now Pedro is at least known. But, it was a nice town to grow up. It's changed a lot. But, you know, when your father's there, I have some roots there. So it's my hometown.
You don't come visit a lot.
Because there's not... Well, that's a tough call. You have to remember, my parents still live there. I love my sister. But, Pedro, it's changed. It's kind of sad to see it now. It's become... Remember, Michael, when we had the fishing? When we were a fishing town? When we had the canneries going? Yeah, see?
No.
I grew up with that. So now to see it... It just looks like, you know, a bunch of boats. But my parents have a beautiful view of the harbor.
You know, they built some lofts downtown.
And I heard the skateboard scene, man. That's really cool. Developed since I've been gone.
Yeah, there's a skate park. I did some benefits to help get that built. And there's cats like Andy Harris and Vinny Vegas. And
a lot more younger people into the scene than when we were there. It was just... Now it's just like it's a whole new generation of people.
I got a drummer with the Missing Men, Raul. He's 20 years younger, and he's part of this... I mean, there's quite a punk scene in Pedro now. There's actually, there's people from Orange County who moved to Pedro.
Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, but I can tell just from what you've been telling me that the scene really hasn't. I mean, before Sacred Grounds, we really, well, remember a couple of gigs in San Pedro. Remember the one at the Star Theater? We didn't have the best venues.
Steve Boone put those gigs on.
Yep.
Changed the name to the Union for it because we'd have to drive so far to Hollywood, so why not have one in our town? And he'd like start them earlier so we could get to work.
I remember there was no windows in that place. It was just so dark. But it was only a few blocks away, right from Dennis's house, and from our
lovely clubs don't have windows anyway, do they?
And then what was the other place? What was Capone's. The Mexican food place we'd go to and eat?
Right Capone's. There. What?
Yeah. Remember? Well, no.
Burrito Factory.
And then we had the place out in Long Beach. That was a cool place to have gigs.
It was the Suburban Lawns practice pad.
Yep. But Long Beach was the next place. Remember, it was, what was that place in the mall? Fender's?
Fender's was downtown.
Those were clubs that were at least driving distance. But then you wouldn't get to go to Pink's after the gig, so it was worth it to go to Hollywood.
Okay, let's play some more music.
Thank you. and I saw you smile. Oh dear, please let me call you what I write. Just a song, like a record. Just a song, empty that I cut down. I cross out where I'm told where my boss said to never get automatic to run like you. Seven seconds before.
That was a song you picked, Lise. Get a Grip on Yourself by the Stranglers. You know, they're still touring, but
oh
not with
God.
The singer. Yeah.
Oh. It's always nice to hear that those old guys are still playing music today.
Mm-hmm. And before that, we had Captain Swing with Stealing Your Music. And Ukifuna by Go-Go 7188. That's a bad name. And we started with Highway Code by Now. We just had an earthquake.
Yep, 5.5 supposedly here. Of course, Michael and I did not feel it. We're probably the only two people here in the city.
Feel it. But your animals didn't feel
no,
it.
No, my cats are on the bed there. They're not even... So yeah, so much for their sixth sense of what's going on. But yeah. Then again, our house.
Well, your cats are interesting. Well, tell us about them.
Well, we have, as we call them, our furry babies, and basically, I have one of them. I work for an embroidery company, and basically, the kitten was starting to rip apart the thread on the machine, so I was told, if you don't take the cat tonight, he won't be here tomorrow. So I got my cat Gizmo. And then we rescued two wild solid gray cats.
Distinctive personalities.
Oh, yes. One's damaged, like his mom, I guess. And then the other two were raised by my boyfriend, and they're much more adjusted. But I keep them all indoors, and... It's the first time I've ever had animals that I keep strictly indoors, but they seem to get along pretty well, and I have...
Back in your Pedro days, huh? Do you remember the man?
I remember the man. I remember cat, man, dude. Yes. Your cat was the first cat that I ever spent any time with that made me decide that I would like to get cats.
Because you had some Pedro cats.
Yes. But I was a dog. I grew up a dog
lover.
Yeah,
I know,
but
after the man.
Oh, after your man cat, yeah. He was. Matter of fact, your cat made it to where I not only wanted cats, but I wanted all gray cats. And that's basically what I've had most of my life. But Michael,
what were those cats that you had?
I had a boy, which was given to me by your sister, yeah. Melinda, who saved him from some children who were not being very kind to him. And so she gave us, once again, your sister,
Melinda,
got to turn us on, and then I've had cats ever since.
There was another cat.
Cat Dwight.
Dwight. No,
yeah.
They ended up getting eaten by coyotes.
Dwight was eaten by coyotes, unfortunately.
But not in Pedro.
No.
Palms.
And what was funny is him and Boy, I moved to Texas for 11 months, and I had to give up my cats, so my friend Cassie's mom was kind enough to take them both, but what happened is as soon as Boy developed a health issue, the next day, Dwight walked out into the night, and that's when the coyotes got him. But I hold no grudge. It's just the circle of life.
Yeah.
Now my cats will never be eaten by coyotes because they never leave my apartment. But that's another story.
And these cats have never been outside, have they?
Well, I live not even half a block from the baseball park here in San Francisco. So, yeah, it's not really an environment conducive. Plus, we're a big dog town. San Francisco has quite a large dog population, so it's very animal friendly. A bit obsessive animal friendly, but no. But you do have your Golden Gate Park. Hey, we have bison.
That
we have
ain't right
home.
By here, though.
No, it's not. But it's in our town.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know too many parks that can say they have
San
buffalo.
Francisco's kind of a small.
7 miles.
Yeah, across. Right, you can actually hoof it. So for a big city.
And here's a girl who grew up having a car since she was 16. I moved to San Francisco, and I haven't had a car since. I mean, Michael can vouch. It's very easy not to have a vehicle.
Yeah,
here,
in fact, having one's kind of tough because of the parking.
Michael can vouch. Yeah. And Richard Bonney can vouch.
Yeah, Richard Bonney. You know, he's been on the Watt from Pedro show before. He's a plumber friend of mine. I met him washing pots and pans at the Pedro Hospital, San Pedro Peninsula Hospital. Now Little Company Mary.
Oh.
Yeah, I told you.
Oh, yeah. None of that was the ex-name. Boy.
They no longer a doctor hospital. They're part of the Catholic thing. But anyway, Richard, how long has he been living here now? He's Ewing
County.
Over Kennedy's
6, river. I think, give or take 6 months now, yeah.
6 months.
I have a little
here.
Piece of Pedro with me now every day.
Right. He's the brother you never had.
Yeah. He was an enigma, but he's not anymore.
So he grew up with two sisters, son.
Yeah. My parents wanted boys. But no, Richard moved up here, and San Francisco afforded him a plumbing job.
Right away.
I mean, his first job, he called. And being we have such a high cost of living up here, that's the bad thing about our town. And New York, I think, is the only other town that's as expensive to live as ours. But Richard was able to get a really decent job, and we have quite a large apartment. But
plus, he doubles up and works
at
the Great American Music Hall.
He'll be there tonight.
Yeah.
Working, seeing lots of good music.
He was there last night.
Backstage managing, that was his first.
Really?
Yeah.
For Thurston's gig. He did
they
a great job. Back. Everybody was sweet.
The hall is.
I saw Don
nice
Holiday,
people.
Right? I first worked for her at the Slims.
She loves you.
And she's beautiful people. And God, I haven't played Slims in a while. Underneath the Bay Bridge, on one of the piers, is they have the Warped Tours.
Right.
Did you come see me?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Remember the gentleman in the wheelchair who was up on the stage singing, and he was amazing. He knew all the words, and he knew. That was a fun gig. Remember, we got sunburned on the side of our face. But it was like, yeah, because we knew all the songs that were on the list.
Yeah. Now, when you first came to town, you weren't in this pad.
No.
You were at this place not too far away.
Another warehouse. Jeez, right. Are you noticing a theme here?
And yeah. I remember Conkin. We were playing a gig. We came and conked at your pad. And I remember having a little blankie.
And a piece of cardboard.
And a piece of cardboard. And then popping in the morning and seeing a whole ceiling mosquitoes.
Yeah, we lived by that chicken processing plant.
Yeah,
who would have thought?
Standing water in the bottle. But I remember seeing all them mosquitoes. And then, there's no bites on my arms or anything because I was under that blankie. But it just went up to my neck. So when I went and looked in the mirror to piss and then looked in the mirror, and all the mosquitoes had been feeding on my face.
Remember, Nels refused to stay. You guys looked like you had the measles. Everyone felt so bad.
Oh, my face was a giant pincushion for all them beaks to be eaten.
Their mosquitoes were so big that they would go in front of my TV screen and you couldn't miss them, remember?
Now, the place I've been playing with my own music a lot lately has been Bottom of the Hill.
Which is Ramona. A lovely little, I like that club. It's cool,
not
walking
too far
distance
from here.
From here.
Right.
And then 13 Galaxies is just like somebody's locker room. You played there.
I think I'm going to be there.
Yeah, How many galaxies? Weird venue layout, kind of.
How many galaxies?
13.
No, 12.
12? Oh, it's the guy who carries the religious sign.
Yeah.
That says we have a lot of sign carriers. The end is near type of stuff.
So I'm going to be there in 2 weeks with Sisters in the Pit. Well, with Dose. And Dose is playing with Sisters in the Pit.
They're sweethearts.
Yeah, great band.
Kira's a sweetheart, Sisters in the Pit, all good women, good women.
It was an honor to be asked. Actually, the week before, Dose does 4 gigs with Joe Lally's new solo band. Joe Lally plays bass for Fugazi. And Ian's going to be out with his Evens. He's on tour right now, too, uh-huh. But... So I got 5 Dose gigs coming. I got a lot of gigs coming up.
You've always had a lot of gigs coming up, Michael. You are the gig master.
Right, but a lot of them are in SoCal. But I do come up to your town to do that.
Yes.
Okay, so.
At Hotel Roland. Yes, yeah, we've had 7. What is 7 guys? I think is on my maximum here. We've had with Joe Baiza was here. Remember, Raul's been here bunches. Tom Watson.
Phil Watson just had his 1966 Volkswagen stolen from him.
Remember when they parted yours out one part at a time out in front of your mom's pad on Western? Yeah.
I came back from tour, and I parked it at her pad while I was gone, and it was a nightmare. Let's play some more music.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
right. That was Victoria by the Hanson Brothers. Now, Hanson Brothers are a couple of brothers. It's with another cat.
Hence the name Hanson Brothers?
No, but they're actually the Wright Brothers. They have a band called No Means No. And they do this kind of hockey tribute band thing.
Oh, there you go.
And they come from a town called Victoria. And so they changed the lyrics of the Kink song to reflect talking about their hometown, since we've been talking so much about ours. And before that, we had a song that you picked from Northern Ireland band called Stiff Little Fingers, Alternative Ulster. I saw them way back in those days. You know what? Too bad we didn't have some lemon kittens.
Oh, Daddy got a hammer. Daddy get
now,
a hammer.
I want to talk to you about this trip. You know, we just had some big ass fires in SoCal. Now, I've missed because I've been driving all around the U.S. last few weeks, but there's some bad fires there, right?
Yep.
And so one of the worst place hit was Lake Arrowhead.
Yep.
Now, one time we did a trip, Dirk, myself, Nanny, and you went up.
Big Bear.
I think Big Bear. Big
Bear
Dirk
Lake.
Had a cabin there.
His parents' house.
And we were listening to some Lemon Kittens. You remember?
Scared you. They kind of made you feel something hauntingly haunting about
that. There was a bunch of L in our hands.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't want to say that on the air. But if you're coming to, we were frying our brains out. Yes. And I remember that, much like with D-Boon and the Disraeli Gears album, in your basement, so you're tripping. And then it being in the dark, and remember the moth-filled rug? And then you, Michael decides to stoke the fireplace with catalogs that had ink on them. So we were on a lot more than just LSD that trip. But the Lemon Kittens were for the Lemon Kittens.
Yeah, right. There was one album called We Buy a Hammer for Daddy. And then one called Cake Beast.
Oh my God, now you're really digging deep. Cake Beast, that is. That's a good name. I've forgotten about that one. They were.
And then also, Dirk had some recording of Basil Rathbone reading Edgar Allan Poe, The Black Cat.
And The Raven.
And The Raven.
And The Telltale. Wasn't it Vincent Price?
I think it was Basil
Rathbone. I think it was Vincent Price. Because we're like, oh, where the fuck do you get Vincent Moody? But yeah, you can tell.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. But it was pretty intense on
it. It's only because we are.
Now, earlier, that was at the nighttime.
And we canoed.
That's where we
canoe trip to death.
We got in a canoe and was on Lake Arrowhead, right?
No, Big Bear Lake.
Oh, we were on Big Bear
Lake.
Yes. What was near there?
No, it's Big Bear Lake. I remember where I almost lost my life. And my canoe.
No, what happened was Lise freaks out, stands up in the canoe.
No. Let's get this straight. You and Nanny rammed our canoe. You, me and Dirk. And of course, me and Dirk not only have a canoe, but we are the canoe with the cooler in it.
Yeah, but you freak out and stand up tip your fucking canoe over.
Your canoe went up over the side. Remember, then it took on water, Michael.
Oh, yeah. We were all in the water. We had to flip them back over. Yeah.
And then the guy took us to the opposite side, and I'm like, going, you bastard, why didn't you take it? And then we canoed against the wind.
Yeah.
But you know what?
It made it bad.
It was fun, right. And I had bruises under my arms from clinging to the side of that canoe. You go, let's race! And then all of a sudden, it was like, your tip of your canoe came off the side of
I think you were having periods.
Oh, yeah. I had to come back and go to the doctors. I almost bled to death. Good times. Those were good times. Yeah. Hey, whose car did we drive up
in? Cake Beast.
Did we drive up in yours or Dirk's Mustang? Remember when Dirk had the Mach?
No, but I think it was my VW. We were cramming in the mud. But I remember the Cake Beast.
We weren't very athletic as a group.
The Lemon Kittens. So too bad we don't have that music to play.
That would be great.
So look. Is the point of all this you would like to forever live in the old days?
You got it, if I could. I'm 47 now to be young again. Now, you live and you learn. It's like I said, it's made me the person I am to some degree. but I'm glad to be alive and now able to look back on it, too.
Lisa, look.
I love you,
I'm
Michael.
I'm very glad that you're on the show. I love you back. I'm very glad you were on the show. Thank you for being my guest. And I think it's the first time I've done a radio show in San Francisco, but to get to relive some old days with you, thank you so much.
And thank you,
Michael.
And
sharing it with the listeners. Okay, this is October 30th, 2007 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.